Then, for the last talk this evening, I skip over the did you drink enough water, drink enough water part. Drink enough water. And go to the last talk, Safeguarding Research and Culture, Safe Public Data from the Digital Book Burnings, presented by my good friend and colleague Enric. And yeah, this is a project which I saw from slight difference developing through the past few months. I mean, due to mostly driven by political developments over the other side of the Atlantic. And yeah, if you ever wondered about what to do if websites you thought were archives or were archiving important information just change and disappear, and what you can do against it, then let's hear from Safeguarding Research. Henrik.
Okay, hi. Okay, thank you all for having me and having me present here for the last talk of the day, quite late in the evening. Thanks you all to still be here. I will be talking a bit about what I and especially we as like a community have been doing for the last 6 months, give or take, about the kind of clickbaity title, Saving Public Data from the Digital Book Burnings. Which is very good encompassed by the by the quote from a colleague actually from Australia, which shows how international this whole community is, which says, yeah, as researchers, we often say we need the data, but today the data needs us. And I will be giving like a three-parter. First, I will be talking about the very bleak stuff happening currently, which is mostly the why am I even here? Why are we doing this? Then I can actually tell you a little bit about encouraging things in midst all the bleak stuff happening all the time. And I will be telling you about the approach we as Safeguarding Research and Culture use to safeguard data, and also about ways for you to potentially contribute to this whole effort. Yeah, but in the beginning, the bleak, or why even talk about digital book burnings, use the term digital book burnings. I mean, it has been used as a metaphor a lot. Like, this is an article from The Atlantic from May of this year, The Economist also from May of this year, kind of showing, like, talking about the new dark age, an attack on knowledge itself happening under the current Trump administration in the United States. And also here, yeah, okay, it started as a crackdown on something called diversity, equity, inclusion, but it's now an attack on research as a whole. Okay, sorry, I can't stop myself. I'm a historian by training. This dark age stuff is always kind of grinding my gears. Like, yes, it's not a medieval dark age, but a totally new kind of dark age, just to make it short here. Yes, so stuff is bad, shit is very bad. There is the American Academy of Arts and Sciences, an institution as old as the United States itself, founded by mostly the same kind of people, not known to be very political or partisan in any way, like a very reliable institution. Their board of directors put out a statement in April talking about reckless funding cuts and restrictions, about efforts for like to censor, for censorship against scholarly and cultural institutions, about efforts to curtail freedom of the press, to purge inquiry or ideas that challenge prevailing policies, and also even action and threats intended to erode the rule of the law. Such a statement from such an institution is something you don't see every day, so just to make sure things are bad. And things are also bad if I use some statistics from the same The Economist article. Here you see the funding situation. You see on the one side the number of terminated grants only for the NIH, the National Institute of Health, and the NSF, the National Science Foundation, like the one body funding a lot of research. You see how many grants have actually been just terminated in the very first couple of months. This one stopped in May. And you also see on the other side the amount of proposed budget cuts, like starting in 2026, to a lot of the funding bodies, again, National Science Foundation, National Institute of Health, but also NASA and NOAA, which is like for the NSF, nearly 50% of their budget is proposed to be cut. Probably some people of you have also heard about the kind of the list of banned words. So very specific words that are, if you use this in your grant proposal, in your writing, in the work you do, you are no longer funded, to make the long story short. And also, like, it's very specifically targeted against, for example, transgender, but also topics like vaccination, autism, climate change, and so on. I brought just two examples of very recent examples of bad things happening. One is a quote by Davy Smith, who is a professor of medicine at the University of California, San Diego, also the co-director of the Center for AIDS research there. And like he is talking about in an article from yesterday about like how his Center for AIDS research gets quite a big grant, and all of this allows them to do great work. But this great work has elements of vulnerable communities that they are trying to help, which use words like gay, lesbian, black, and women. And that led to the grant being cancelled in February. It has been kind of reinstated in the last couple of months, but it's very unclear, and the whole uncertainty is like a very large impact factor for bad stuff happening. The second example are two specific executive orders, the Restoring Gold Standard Science from May and the Improving Oversight of Federal Grant Making from 2 days ago. Again, very, very timely. The Restoring Gold Standard Science, there has been a very nice statement by the Center for Open Science, again from May, just stating, okay, this gold standard science, even though it looks kind of good in the beginning, if you just look at the normal contents, but it does not provide any standards for non-scientific information. So it holds science to an unachievable standard, which we all should strive to reach, but it's actually unachievable, and everything not science, not scientific, to no standards at all, and then gives like policymakers and politicians the ability to just judge what kind of science and what kind of research they want to fund. For the Improving Oversight of Federal Grant Making, it's a statement by the president, director of the Council of Governmental Relations, which is a lobby organization of, I think, 250 research institutions in the United States, saying, okay, this one, it sidelines scientific merits in federal research grant decision by putting political appointees and partisans in charge. So this is all happening right now. To see this all, we have research data, publicly available research data, and public information in general that has been made inaccessible, sometimes even deleted or purged, and in some cases changed, which is like in health data or like health information, changing gender to sex, making sure that the word transgender does not appear anywhere because it's against one specific executive order, which is all like, this is all politics and not science in a sense. So we are talking about current attacks against scientists, but also against research infrastructure, like cutting the budget of a whole arm of research and an institution also means that the infrastructure that a much larger piece of research depends on has been gutted as well and can't function as well. If your whole IT department gets fired because it's no longer being paid, you can't have the servers for the repositories for the data and all that stuff. And again, it's also an attack against the public, because we're talking about publicly available information, information that's been very helpful to everything in the public, for us, for everyone. And now the last bleak thing, this is something that is not only a problem in the United States. Like, yes, the scale, the speed, the whole everything of it is very much unprecedented United States things, but infrastructures for research and memory also, like including museums, galleries, archives, and so on, are facing a multitude of threats currently, which includes, yes, attacks on specific topics, not just United States. If we think about cutting money to humanities in general, cutting money to things like gender studies, this is happening all around us and even in our own country. Cuts to funding as well. So this is not only an issue there. And then we're also talking about threats like cyber attacks, attacks on IT infrastructure, like crime is happening also, not just politically motivated attacks. And we also have natural disasters. I could talk a lot longer about this part of the thing. I just want to point out one issue. Like, we have the British Library as the like a very trusted institution that's the like a repository for a lot of data. It's being used in many, many instances all around the world, like kind of a very important central piece of infrastructure. And they had been hit by a cyber ransomware attack in October of 2023 and are still not 100% online again. Like, this is still an ongoing issue there. They are still rebuilding their whole infrastructure, which on a tangent actually led to a project I was involved in not being able to go forth for, like, until now, because we relied on digitized manuscripts provided by the British Library, and it was not accessible. So this has nothing to do with any kind of political pressure, but it's also threats those kind of infrastructures and institutions are facing. But now, after having blasted you with a lot of bleak stuff, just to give you a taste of what's going on, there are also some encouraging moments happening right now, especially in the sense of people not just looking around and saying, oh my God, someone needs to do something about that, but actually taking things in their own hands and either starting on their own or with a couple of friends or acquaintances, and also getting to know each other, finding other people, kind of growing grassroots communities, and trying not to feel helpless and trying to do a lot of good stuff currently. I just brought like three examples of such kind of grassroots projects, groups. You have like, okay, the one group project that I'm from, like the Safeguarding Research and Culture one, but there's also a project, the Data Rescue Project, mostly focused on federal data from the United States, and also a very large alliance of many institutions or many groups working mostly in environmental and climate data, the Public Environmental Data Partners. And together, we can do a lot of stuff. We can save a lot of research. We can back up and archive a lot of research data before it gets deleted. Also, a couple of larger institutions started doing this as well. This is like very focused on German stuff right now. I know that SURF in the Netherlands has been doing stuff as well. We have one repository for environmental data starting to do things. We have the research library TIB in Hanover building a dark archive of archive, and also thoughts and approaches to an totally new alternative to PubMed, building a new kind of not as centralized, not as single point of failure infrastructure for health data. We also have a couple of success stories I can share. Only a couple of examples. There is the really great website covid.gov or coronavirus.gov, giving like access to really good material, science communication booklets for information on how to behave and all that stuff. This one is gone from the official website. The official website no links to this one, or redirect to this one. Leaving this aside, there is a complete mirror of the website available by WebRecord, which is like one of our partners, and the file, the mirror file of the website has actually been provided by Safeguarding Research and Culture. Like someone, people from our community actually did this archive and made it possible that it's still here in some way. Another nice example is the current ongoing project Save Our Science, which deals with signage in national parks. Because those signs include a lot of information about American history and other stuff, which in a way does also tell the bad side of American history, and that's no longer appropriate and allowed. So there's currently an ongoing effort to change the signage. And the Save Our Science project is a community collaboration by a couple of librarians, public historians, public history people, and even more other data experts in partnership with Data Rescue Project and Safeguarding Research and Culture, telling people to please take pictures of signs before they get changed. And I just checked a couple of minutes ago, we actually have nearly 4,000 pictures submitted. This has been going on for, I think, a month. So this is also some nice things. The last example, the National Climate Assessment reports. There's been like a lot of media coverage currently because they are no longer as accessible as they once were. And the currently chief of the Department of Energy also suggested, yes, they could or will or maybe won't, it's not clear, alter the already existing reports. And they have been thoroughly archived. So there's, again, a complete mirror of the website hosting those. And the PDFs, for example, are also available on our storage solution, which I will be talking about right now. So what is our storage solution? Or what are we actually doing? Safeguarding Research and Culture as a project and initiative, we are mostly a kind of digital archive from a grassroots perspective. We use data, or we care about data using the principles of FAIR, so findable, accessible, reusable, and interoperable. Now I changed the order, but you get the point. And about data ethics, the things we are building on like a software side is all based on open technology, open source, and open standards. And for storage, we are using meaningfully distributed storage. So not just one data center somewhere hosting like hundreds and hundreds of terabytes, but meaningfully distributed. We care about publicly available material, so public data, which is kind of important for legal reasons and also data ethic reasons, and then interested in big data as well as tiny data, just to give you a very short introduction about that. Big data is kind of the really multiple dozen of terabyte climate data set down to tiny data, meaning like a single podcast or a single website, stuff like this. We are mostly a community of people doing this, like a core team, volunteers, contributors, again, partners, domain experts, in some cases also whistleblowers from institutions in the United States. For meaningfully distributed storage, we're using BitTorrent. Those data, the data we are archiving, we are safeguarding, is in a very large BitTorrent swarm all over the world, like many, many places. And one node can go offline and the whole thing is still there. So no single point of failure. we are using PsyOrb as our catalog and software. So this is at the same time our Kerbin curated catalog index of already saved data sets and data. But on the other hand, also a general tooling, a general software toolkit to using BitTorrent for this kind of archival and storage needs, which is also working in the direction of having like a federated peer-to-peer system, which is still very much in the works, but a vision we have as a team. And like just a couple of minutes ago, a lot of data sets, nearly 200 terabytes of unique data, but because it is being stored by many seeders, in the sense, in many different places and many different devices, we actually have a swarm capacity currently of nearly 850 terabytes, which if you would have told me that in January or February, I would have not believed you that it's possible to get people from all over the world involved in that to just contribute their storage and their bandwidth without any kind of monetary exchange going on. So this is all happening on a volunteer basis. It's very much still in beta in this way. And this leads me to my last point, because yes, this is going on, but it's being made by volunteers, not being paid for that. Even like I'm not being paid, no one in the core team is being paid, and so on. And there are ways to contribute to this whole thing. The most important point is spreading the word. Like, it's better as more people know about A, what's going on, and B, what's being done against that, or at least trying to stem against the large tide. Again, you could participate in the BitTorrent swarm if you have storage capacity just lying around and a bandwidth connection. It's quite easy, not that big of a deal. And also, very much for this crowd here, the very nice folks at BitNL actually contributed a whole server rack without servers. We already have like one donated server in this rack, but I think there is place for at least 3 to 4 more servers. So if you or people in your circles have access to servers, then they could be donated to be put in this rack and being put to good use. This is one way. Another way, we are very, like, we don't have many people working on the development of the tooling, or at least one person doing a hell of a lot of work and doing an awesome job, but one person is not enough for the amount of stuff we are currently needing to build and needing to deal with. Like, if you visit the website I put up here, you see like the user interface has issues and all the stuff, like the metadata has issues. There is a lot of room for improvement, and we purposefully built this one on a very kind of lo-fi stack. Like, it's mostly Python, it's an SQLite database in the background, and using HTMX. So if people are interested, we are very much looking for people to contribute on the coding and development side of things. If people are also interested in dealing with data and working with data, metadata curation is also a large work package at the moment and in the foreseeable future. And again, if you have contacts to some domain experts, it would be also very appreciated. Every kind of connections to other domains that we have not access to is very, very helpful. I mean, I as like a historian by training, doing things in the digital humanities, I don't have any ideas about climate data, but now I deal with climate data. So having expert in those fields is very, very helpful. How to contact? I will now, because of time, this is here. There's a QR code, and I think I will stop with this in the second.
Yeah, thank you, Henrik. I think a very good example of the kind of spirit all around us, getting a community, not even knowing what people you might find, and also, yeah, a call for everybody who has some spare hard drives or capacity and online bandwidth or some servers to get in contact with Hendrik. And I think if there's any immediate questions, please come. Else, Hendrik is here. If you come afterwards and talk to him, then is there a question?
Yeah, thank you for your great presentation. I was wondering all through the presentation, what's actually on your t-shirt? Because I can't see the full t-shirt. Could you show it?
Okay, yeah, that's kind of, you have to go through me and the trans flag, because this is actually the beginning of the whole project. Like, the whole thing started in the middle of January, dealing with the thought of, okay, we know Trump is going to be the president, we know their stance against everything connected to transgender, non-binary, anything in this way, and I and a couple of friends thought, okay, we just need to look at publicly available data, like federally funded data about especially transgender, and need to keep this safe. And then it kind of spiraled, and now I'm here.
It's an awesome t-shirt. Right. Very great compliment. Maybe an on-topic question, was already on-topic, but I do have a BitTorrent server. It has some spare capacity, but I don't have time to figure out which torrents are useful to share. Is there something for that to contribute?
Okay, so it's very hard for me to understand you right now, which is probably an issue with the audio.
Closer to the mic.
Can you try asking again?
I have a BitTorrent server.
Yeah.
It has some spare capacity,
yeah.
But I don't have time or knowledge to figure out which torrents to seed.
Yes, okay. So, okay, great. Thanks, yeah. On the PsyOp catalog, there are RSS feeds, and we have feeds for any data sets that has less than 10 seeds. So you can just look at the list of things that has less than 10 seeds and just like start pulling the first couple ones until your capacity is full. Like this is probably the easiest way to contribute.
If things have
more than 10 seeds, then we consider them to be stored in enough places right now.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And where do I find that URL?
Again, this is, let me just go back a couple of things. PsyOp.net.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, thanks. Another applause for Hendrik.